If you're a Christian or a white man in the USA, it's open season on you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 150. Real quick, before we get into it, and hey, this is part two of Hate in America, and I want to thank you so much for being here. But one thing, I want to get it out of the way, because it's in the room, it's in the air, it stinks, and it's Donald Trump's manhood. I'm sorry. Last night, and so clearly that's it's going to put a stamp on when I'm recording this right now. Last night at the GOP debate hosted by Fox News, starring the monster that Fox News created, or that Fox News helped create, Donald Trump, they spent a significant amount of time talking about Donald Trump's penis. Now that that's out of the way, let's move on to the important stuff.
I love the poorly educated.
So last week, I decided that I was going to do this two-part series. And it was going to deal with hate in America. And the reason I decided to go with two parts is because there's so much. Now, when I decided to assemble the shows, it was because I had read an article on Occupy Democrats that said that the SPLC, which is an organization that I pay really close attention to. I always read about the Year in Hate. I'm very familiar with all of the hate groups that they're following. And then I read on Occupy Democrats. Now, this is not a site that I generally use a lot and will probably be more skeptical when I use in the future. But when I decided to use them this time, they had a headline. And the headline contributed to SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who is the authority on this stuff. It said, Southern Poverty Law Center declares the Republican Party as a hate group. I'll tell you something. Whenever I said this to somebody, when I said it on this very microphone, when I said it to people that I know, when I said it to people online, nobody was surprised. Never ever was there a challenge from anybody. Even though the internet is right there and you can freely go and look it up, nobody challenged me. Nobody looked it up. Because had they decided to look it up, like I decided to look it up, you would have realized, and this is TFYCPO issuing a correction. And I do this show, and my wife says, you know, you should call yourself a journalist. I won't call myself a journalist. I'm a commentator. And I say that with good reason. I have a lot of respect for what journalists do. And I do not see myself as a journalist. I see myself as a commentator. I enjoy doing this. And, you know, for every person that sits in front of a computer and types, or a typewriter, or is out on the street doing tons of research, for every one of those guys, there's got to be a guy like me that can disseminate this information for you in the voice I do, with my hands flying all over the place and being very, you know, entertaining. This is my job. But I do want to make sure that when I say something on this mic, it is correct. So I decided to go to SPLC's website after I read the headline on Occupy Democrats. And I read through all of the hate groups that they cover, and there's quite a few. And I didn't see anywhere that it said that the Republican Party was a hate group. So I decided to go to Snopes, which, by the way, another fantastic website for finding out if something is true or not. I went to Snopes, and Snopes had it right there. No, the SPLC did not declare the Republican Party as a hate group. Ah, and then they said that Occupy Democrats essentially needed to retract that story because they got the headline all wrong. Here's the thing. Never was I challenged, and it did not seem all that far-fetched to anybody that the Republican Party was declared a hate group. Now, although the SPLC did not officially declare them a hate group, I feel like their time is coming, and it's coming soon. Because what SPLC did highlight is that they are surely solely responsible, the Republican Party, for the rise in hate groups again. Because as I discussed before, after Barack Obama became president, hate groups increased every single year. Then, after his re-election, that increase stopped. Same amount of hate groups. Hate groups didn't go away. Just the amount of hate groups, the growth of hate groups, that stopped. Then, coinciding with the 2016 election, those hate groups started growing again. And SPLC said it is almost certainly because of the way the Republican Party is running for president. running on this anti-immigrant status, using a lot of dog whistle language. So here I am, Melvin Mausoleum, TFYCPO. I have now issued my correction. Let us move on to the show. We have four people left who are running for president. We've got John Kasich. We've got Marco Rubio. We've, of course, got Donald Trump, who we covered the hell out of last week. And we've got Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz seems to be running on this really over-the-top religious platform. And nobody faults you for being religious. But what he's doing, the folks that he is aligning himself with, that is what makes him a person who essentially belongs to a hate group. Allow me to explain. The Ted Cruz campaign sought and got a lot of endorsements from pastors. Those pastors, a whole lot of them, very controversial. Now, let me say this. He has not gotten a single endorsement from anybody that he works with in the United States Senate. Not a single one. Nobody who knows Ted Cruz the best will endorse him. Back a few months ago on this show, we talked about where three presidential candidates got together with a man named Kevin Swanson and had this religious freedom coalition. And those three candidates were Huckabee, who's out of the race, Jindal, who's out of the race, and Ted Cruz. And Kevin Swanson said some really interesting things from the stage.
There are families whose, and we're talking Christian families, pastors' families, elders' families, in good godly churches, their sons are rebelling, hanging out with homosexuals, and getting married. And the parents are invited. What would you do if that was the case? Here's what I would do. Sackcloth and ashes at the entrance to the church, and I'd sit in cow manure, and I'd spread it all over my body. That's what I would do. And I'm not kidding. I'm not laughing. I'm grieving. I'm mourning. I'm pointing out the problem. It's not a gay time. These are the people with the sores, the gaping sores, the sores that are pussy and gross, and people are coming in and carving happy faces on the sores. That's not a nice thing to do. Don't you dare carve happy faces on open pussy sores. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. I tell you, don't do it. Sackcloth and ashes. This is what America needs. America needs to hear the message. We are messed up.
He seems like a nice fella, doesn't he? Now, Melvin, you cannot indict Ted Cruz just because he appeared with this guy, right? Appearing with this guy does not automatically indict Ted Cruz. Okay, well, perhaps. Let me remind you that Ted Cruz sought and got this guy's endorsement and was one of only three people to appear at this thing. And not only was Ted Cruz there to hear these words, but Ted Cruz appeared on stage with this guy afterwards. And they talked together.
Any president who doesn't begin every day on his knees isn't fit to be commander-in-chief of this country.
So there's Ted Cruz on his knees. Okay, not really. Just on stage with this fella. Hey, I will say it. Not fair, right? That's not... Hey, that's one guy. What about Reverend Wright? Reverend Wright was never calling for the murder of homosexuals, and that is what Kevin Swanson went on to say. He said he's willing to go to jail for his beliefs. He says that the Bible says to kill the homosexuals. I won't play the clip. He's not a lot of fun to hear, but I will point out. He said that even though he would like us to start murdering homosexuals, we shouldn't do it. Let's wait, because perhaps they can redeem themselves. Ted Cruz has this thing where he says, religious freedom, religious freedom. By the way, you are free to practice whatever religion you want in the United States of America. Nobody is standing in your way. But when he says religious freedom, what he really means is the freedom to discriminate.
Let me tell you, these less than 20 million Jews worldwide, God is going to bring them all back. The Lord says, I'm going to offer two strategies to Israel, to these 20 million. He says, first, I'm going to offer them grace. I'm going to send the fishermen. Do you know how a fisherman lures? I mean, do you know how a fisherman does their thing? They have the bait in front luring the fish. It's a picture of grace. The hunters are opposite. instead of luring them in front, hunters drive with fear from behind. The Lord says, I'm going to give all 20 million of them the chance to respond to the fishermen. I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to give them grace. And he says that if they don't respond to grace, I'm going to raise up the hunters. And the most famous hunter in recent history is a man named Adolf Hitler.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet Pastor Bickle. Pastor Bickle has also given his endorsement to one Ted Cruz, who the Republican Party is now seeing as the anti-Trump. The Republican Party is openly saying, we need to do something about Donald Trump. We need to make sure that Donald Trump gets the hell out of the race. Meet Pastor Bickle, who believes that Hitler was God's Jew hunter. What he was pointing out in that clip was, hey, you Jews had the chance to come to God, to come to Jesus. And when you decided not to come to Jesus, well, he had to send Hitler to take you folks out.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist. The heart of Babylon will be a religion of affirmation, toleration, no absolutes, a counterfeit justice movement. They will be sincere, many of them, but their sincerity will not in any way lessen the impact of their deception. The fact that they are sincere does not make their deception less damaging. I believe that one of the main pastors as a forerunner to the Harlem movement, it's not the Harlem movement yet, is Oprah.
I've pointed out on this show before that when Donald Trump ran for the presidency back during the 90s, they asked him, who do you want your vice presidential pick to be? And he said, Oprah Winfrey. Same thing this time around. And they asked him again. And by the way, now that Donald Trump is running on the KKK card, he probably won't say this now, but he did say it at the beginning of his campaign this time around. They asked him again, who would you like for vice president? And he said, Oprah Winfrey. And I suppose that should make him seem less KKK-y, but we've got more clips coming up later. He's gotten super, super duper KKK-y. I don't even know if I'm using a real word here. And so here's this pastor, Pastor Bickle, who has came out in favor of Ted Cruz. And he says, Oprah Winfrey, she's the one you gotta watch out for. Oprah. Oh, wait, Oprah? Yeah, Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah. She is winsome. She is kind. She is reasonable. She is utterly deceived. Utterly deceived. A classy woman, a cool woman, a charming woman, but has a spirit of deception, and she is one of the clear pastors, forerunners to the harlot movement.
There was a religious freedom bill introduced in South Carolina, and a black congressman stood up and challenged this particular bill and said, now wait a minute, religious freedom. I've read the language of this, and this seems like this might be able to protect the Ku Klux Klan.
We're all familiar with the terms KKK. Is that not correct? Meaning the hate organization, Ku Klux Klan?
I've read about them, yes.
Some of my heritage have done a lot more than just read about them, and I certainly understand where you're going. But my concern is, couldn't that organization, if it chose to do so, identify itself as faith-based?
And again, I'm not an attorney. I don't know. I guess they could, Senator. I'm not sure.
Senator Further,
I don't know what would stop them.
Senator Further, yeah?
Certainly.
So there's nothing in your legislation that would stop them. Is that correct?
That's right.
Does that present a problem for you, Senator?
Does it present a problem for me? No. Again, I mean, I've read about those groups, but, you know, I don't know that this certainly isn't directed towards them. It's directed towards churches and towards ministers and towards organizations that provide adoptions and organizations that provide help to the homeless and so forth.
Senator Further, yield.
It's for equal protection as well. Yes, sir.
I heard you initially say the answer is being no. I would certainly hope that you would search your heart and understand how the gravity of dealing with an organization like the KKK, particularly for those of my persuasion, could create problems underneath under this particular legislation. And centrally, it would empower some of the things they would do by discriminating against certain classes of people inherent in your legislation. Aren't you providing a vehicle for them to do exactly that?
I don't think so, Senator. I really don't. And, you know, I did watch the Super Bowl the other day, and I did see a tribute to the Black Panthers. I guess that'd be kind of the similar group that we're talking about, and I guess they could fall under this as well.
This is a favorite talking point, not only in right-wing circles, but also over on Fox News, that Beyonce's halftime show had something to do with a salute to the Black Panthers, which is a hate group. Let me clear a few things up for you about the Black Panthers. And by the way, back in the 60s, I, Melvin, would have been a Black Panther. But Melvin, you're not black, but that was not the point. Now, I want to separate this into two columns. This is very important. Please listen closely. The Black Panther group of the 1960s. The Black Panther in the 60s was led by a man named Huey Newton. And what they were was they were helping all groups. They were anti-capitalist, anti-fascist, anti-imperialist, and they were, at that time, anti-racist and very much democratic socialist. Their political position was really to the far left. Fast forward to now, what is referred to as the New Black Panther Party. And yes, these guys, the New Black Panther Party, completely separate thing, not in the same spirit. I wish they didn't have that name. They are considered a hate group because they, the New Black Panther Party, are pushing racism. They are on SPLC's list of hate groups. Completely separate thing. So, the Beyonce thing. That was more of a tribute to being African American, the African American culture. SNL did a great skit on this, where everybody was freaking out because they realized that Beyonce was black. And that was essentially what happened. People saw her out there, they saw the hats, and they saw the afros, and they said, oh my goodness gracious, that's right, Beyonce's black. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not freak out. She's always been black. But racism, what it is, people have these ideas about what black is. And Beyonce didn't necessarily fit it before. And now that, well, now that everyone realizes she's black, everybody's freaking out. But when you deal with people that are freaking out about these kinds of things, people that are freaking out about things that they have no idea about, just remember exactly who you're dealing with. You're dealing with people on the far right. You're dealing with Tea Partiers. You're dealing with racists. You're dealing with morons.
This question was asked of all the Republican voters in the PPP poll. Quote, do you think Barack Obama is a Christian or a Muslim, or are you not sure? 14% of Republican voters say President Obama is a Christian. 14%. The percentage of Republican voters who say he's a Muslim, 54%. And the percentage of Republican voters who say they aren't sure whether or not President Obama is a Christian, that is 32%. President Obama is, in fact, a Christian. But 86% of the Republican electorate either doesn't believe that or they're not sure. Similarly, this was question 28 in the new poll. Dear Republican voters, do you think Barack Obama, President of the United States, was born in the United States? The proportion of Republican voters who say yes, President Obama was born in the U.S., is 29%. The proportion who say no, he wasn't born in the United States, is 44%. And another 26% aren't sure. In fact, President Obama was born in the United States, do I have to say it? But fully 70% of the Republican electorate just doesn't believe that, or they say they don't know. Only 29% of Republican voters think that President Obama is actually president. Do you guys think that Ted Cruz was born in the United States? Even though only 29% of Americans think that President Obama was born in the U.S., 40% of them think that Ted Cruz was. Ted Cruz was not born in the United States. He was born in Canada.
So what is the separation there? If I may, the separation clearly seems to be race. Here's a man born outside of America, but because he's white and conservative, then he's allowed to be here, and he's even allowed to run for president. And there's no concern from the Republicans. He's right, and he's running for president. But he wasn't born in America. What do you mean he wasn't born in America? Clearly he's white. All white people are born in America, but Barry Barack Obama. On the campaign trail, tons of respect to Bernie Sanders for pointing this out. And it's something that we all know. It's something that conservatives won't admit, but it's something that we all know. Most of the hate that has been leveled against President Obama has not been because of his policies, has not been because he's a Democrat, but it's been a lot because he's black. Why else would you challenge Where were you born? Where were you born? Really, the only thing that makes us point out the fact that Ted Cruz was not born in the USA is how you treated President Obama, who was born in the United States. And Bernie has pointed this out more than a few times out on the campaign trail.
I am appalled. You know, people can agree with Barack Obama. You can disagree with Barack Obama. But anybody who doesn't understand that the kind of obstructionism and hatred thrown at this man, the idea of making him a delegitimate president by suggesting he was not born in America because his dad came from Kenya. No one asked me whether I'm a citizen or not. My father came from Poland. Gee, what's the difference? Maybe the color of our skin.
The favorite line of conservatives is they don't hate him because he's black. They hate his policies, but then they can't name his policies. Say, fine, name a policy. He's taking away our freedom. He's trying to take away our guns. But then they can't demonstrate how any of those things are happening. And this was the other fun one. They say, oh, you're just trying to call us racist because we don't like his policies. No, we're not trying to call you racist because you don't like his policies. We're trying to call you racist because you're clearly being racist. So I heard a gentleman call up a talk show, and he was very, very mad with the progressive talk show host. And he said, hey, what about Ben Carson? What about J.C. Watts? And he starts naming all these black conservatives. He goes, clearly, we are not racist. And then the host points out, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus in the House of Representatives. How many Republicans are in the Congressional Black Caucus? And you have to be black to be in the Congressional Black Caucus. And the host pointed out that there are zero. So let me say, one of those names that he mentioned was Ben Carson. Ben Carson, up until today, was running for president. And for a while, he was number one. But in a party with a lot of white supremacists, that's not going to last long. But Dr. Ben, for the time that he was awake, Dr. Ben really did try his best. Dr. Ben even decided to challenge President Obama on how black he is. Now remember, Dr. Ben Carson is black, and then decided to challenge our president about whether or not he is black.
But I also recognize that his experience and my experience are night and day different. He didn't grow up like I grew up by any stretch of
the
imagination. Not even close.
He's an African American as opposed to an African American.
African American. He was, you know, raised white. Many of his formative years were spent in Indonesia. So for him to, you know, claim that, you know, he identifies with the experience of black Americans, I think is a bit of a stretch.
He was raised white. Did you hear that? Now, full disclosure, and I'm not breaking any news here, President Obama's mother was white. His grandparents were white. His father was black. So Daryl Issa, convicted felon Daryl Issa, who is a representative from California, was asked about Ben Carson's comments.
Dr. Ben Carson said on a podcast, I believe, talking about the sitting president of the United States, Barack Obama, you know, he's an African-American, but he was, you know, raised white. Many of his formative years were spent in Indonesia. So for him to, you know, claim that, you know, he identifies with the experience of black Americans is a bit of a stretch. Is this the kind of tactic that your party should endorse? In the Politico podcast, he didn't say this in the back of a car to a friend. He said it to an open audience.
Well, you know, I know the doctor. He spoke before a charity that I'm also involved in. He is a great surgeon, a wonderful human being, and he was technically correct in what he said.
Issa decides to go ahead and say, excuse me, but he was technically correct. He goes on to say, you know, he probably shouldn't have said that, but, you know, technically he was correct. Let me just say, this is stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. I see that? I misspelled it. Hey, you Tea Party, you ought to feel right at home. I just misspelled the word. I'm like one of you now. This is dumb. This whole white, living white, living black, acting black, it's like this. People are good based on who they are and what they do. Am I colorblind? Of course I'm not colorblind. I can see. I can see what the color of your skin is. But I'm not going to judge you outright because of it. And there was no such thing as raised white and raised black. I was a part of a thread recently, and the hip-hop artist that started the thread said, hey, what was it that made you fall in love with hip hop? And I really thought about it. And I said it like this. NWA spoke to me. Although I was not African American, their words spoke to me because I was in deep poverty. Just like they were prior to becoming rock stars and being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they were living in the same kind of poverty I was. And then I realized that poverty knows no color. It's economic. It's not racial. It's economic. I was just as poor as a lot of black folk are. But I don't say that I was raised black. I grew up in a lot of largely African-American neighborhoods, but that does not mean that I was raised black. I grew up in poverty. A lot of African-Americans grew up in poverty, but I'm white, and I was right there with them. This whole living white, acting white, living black, acting black thing, this way we try to explain an attitude with a color, it's just stupid.
African-Americans in communities where I've worked, there's been notion of acting white, which sometimes is overstated, but there's an element of truth to it where, okay, if boys are reading too much, then, well, why are you doing that? Or why are you speaking so properly? And the notion that there's some authentic way of being black, that if you're going to be black, you have to act a certain way and wear a certain kind of clothes, that has to go. Because there are a whole bunch of different ways for African-American men to be authentic.
And this notion that the president is not black, this also needs to sleep. And stay asleep.
Senator Obama, how do you address those who say you're not authentically black enough?
You know, when I'm catching a cab in Manhattan in the past, I think I've given my credentials.
But when we talk about conservative voters, and not all conservative voters, by the way, I know some Republicans personally, and I know that they are not racist. But I also know that a lot of them would not hesitate to vote for an incredibly racist candidate because it has been fed to them that if they vote Democratic, it's going to destroy the country. Now, remember, we voted for President Obama after the economic collapse. And not only have we returned from that collapse, but we've been creating hundreds of thousands of jobs every month for the past 60 plus months, and gasoline is below $2 a gallon. It doesn't matter. President Obama has clearly destroyed America. Once again, these folks pick their own reality. And it really does take a poorly educated, ignorant something or other to want the kind of things that Trump is pushing or would push as their president. We are dealing with very ignorant voters. And too many people, when they're ignorant, also happen to be very racist.
There is some polling evidence out of South Carolina today, thanks to the Democratic-leaning firm PPP, which suggests Donald Trump supporters, more than other South Carolina Republicans, want to ban Muslims from entering the United States. 80% of Donald Trump supporters in South Carolina want a Muslim ban on entry to the United States. Donald Trump supporters, more than the rest of the South Carolina Republican electorate, they not only want to ban Muslims from entering our country, they are more supportive of the idea of criminalizing being a Muslim, making the practice of Islam illegal in this country. They're also significantly more likely to support creating a national database listing all Muslims. They're also significantly more likely to want the Confederate flag to still be flying over the South Carolina state capitol. Donald Trump supporters are also more likely to want to ban gay people from entering the United States.
Now, when I listen to talk shows, whether it's progressive or conservative, if I hear somebody call in, and I've said this before, if I hear somebody call in with a southern drawl, I'm pretty sure something either A, incredibly racist, or B, incredibly ignorant, is about to fly from their toothless mouth. I was knocked back this past week when I was listening to the Tom Hartman show. I decided not to pull any clips from it because him and this gentleman talked for about 15 minutes. And the guy called up, and he was just a regular caller, but because he disagreed with Tom, he went to the front of the line. And I had always thought of these incredibly racist people to just be a bunch of slack-jawed yokels. And when this guy called up, he was not those things. He said right up front, "I'm an avowed racist." And the host says, "Are you a separatist or are you a supremacist?" Which is to say, do you believe that white people and black people should just be separate, or Do you believe that the white race is superior? He says, I am a supremacist. I believe that the white race is superior. Then he went on to say, the Civil War should have never happened. You Northerners should have just given us the plantation society that let us have the plantation society that we had, because the plantation society worked really well. The host points out, it worked out really well for the owners of slaves. It did not necessarily work out all that great for the rest of you. He says, hey, these black people had jobs. Now, they went on. And the guy said some horribly racist things. But here was the thing. First of all, no Southern drawl. Second of all, he sounded to me like somebody who was at least somewhat educated. He had some well thought out, not great ideas, but he had definitely thought this through, and he had a pretty expansive vocabulary, spoke very clearly, very articulately, and was very open about the whole thing, and stopped for a moment and said, well, I don't want to say anything too bad, and the host says, no, you've already indicted yourself with your own words, and then he went on, and then I realized at that moment that these are the guys, and he says, hey, you know what? Yes, I'm a racist, he says, but so are a lot of other people. But we live in a, here it comes, politically correct society where we are not allowed to be racist. And he says, now that Donald Trump is running for president, we are now able to be who we really are. We are now able to say what we really want to say. And the host says, so what about when Republicans talk about big government, right? He says, oh, that's dog whistle language. You mean like the Lee Atwater stuff? Yeah, he goes, no, that's dog whistle language. That's because they're talking to guys like us because political correctness will not allow them to be outright racist. I was knocked back in my seat and I was fully in shock, and I will never forget this call. I will never forget the sound of his voice. If I heard him talking out in public, I would be able to pick him out. It's forever burned in my brain. And the guy's name was John. And I realized at that moment, because this is what's propelling Donald Trump right now, are these guys. It's not just the ignorant, you know, slack-jawed, you know, got as many teeth as a jack-o'-lantern folks, lowly educated, fourth grade education, whatever. It's not just these guys. It's also these other guys that are more articulate, that are a little more educated, but are still horribly, horribly racist. And they're propelling this man for all the numbers, right, that are coming out right now about the election. More people, and it pains me to say this, more people are turning out for the Republican primary than are turning out for the Democratic primaries. Now, this could be dismissed by saying this. There were five people up until today. There were five people running for president on the Republican side. And for a while, there was even more than that. There were 10, 15 running for president initially. 17, I think it started out with 17. And the Democrats, at the most, were only five and have been down to two for a while. So we'll have to see if the numbers continue to bear out now that we've got four people running for the Republican nomination. Let's just dismiss all that for a minute and just say a lot of people are turning out for Donald Trump. The Republicans' numbers are through the roof. And Donald Trump, I won't say he's getting Bernie Sanders-sized crowds, but he's getting very significant crowds. So is it true? Is America really deeply racist, but we're not allowed to say it out loud because of political correctness? Is this America in the year 2016, post-slavery, post-Civil War? Is this really who we are? Are we really this dark? Do we really feel this way towards each other? When I talk to people around me, people that I know, when I talk to family members and they say that they are not that way, are they telling me the truth? Or are they secretly racist deep down? What about me, the host on this mic? Am I secretly racist deep down? But I'm just afraid to say it out loud. If I've proven anything to anybody, especially to this audience, I have to say this. What I say into this microphone, I believe to be true. I've done a fair amount of reading, I've done a fair amount of research, and this is really the way I feel, and that's very important to me because these recordings will become a record of me after I pass. And I don't say anything I don't believe to be true, and if I do say something that is not true, I will begin the show as I did today with a retraction. So my question to you, and think about it, look around you. Is this America in 2016, damn near 200 years after we freed the slaves? Is this America?
The specific finding that among all Republican voters in South Carolina, fully 1 in 10 South Carolina Republicans is willing to openly admit that they think white people are a superior race. That number hits double digits for the Republican electorate. And that is a little spooky. But Donald Trump supporters are the ones who are driving those numbers up. His supporters believe that even more strongly than the rest of the Republican electorate in that state.
I mentioned either on the last show or the show before that how disappointed I was watching the Democrats pander, trying to get as many African Americans as they can on their side, as many African American endorsements as they can, just really trying to tell how good they are for the African American community. But there's a reason why the African American community is skeptical. Clearly, the racists are on the Republican side. Not all Republicans are racist, but all racists are Republican because there's no place for them in the Democratic Party. So African Americans go more than 90% for Democratic candidates. But then we have what are referred to as third rail Democrats, middle of the road Democrats, corporate Democrats. And too many of these folks have not served the African American community. Hillary Clinton herself has gotten money from the private prison industry, which is, and I'm not afraid to say it, a racist industry. Our laws, as they pertain to crack and cocaine, are racist. The way we profile is racist. Our laws, the way we lock up African Americans who do not commit more crime than white people, is racist. And so African Americans are skeptical. They're not going to vote for a Republican, but they are going to greet these white candidates, these white Democratic candidates, with some skepticism because they have earned that. I was disappointed probably about 20 shows ago about the Black Lives Matter movement because they interrupted Bernie Sanders. They got in Bernie Sanders' face in Seattle. And I said, what are you doing, BLM? This guy is working for you. It was short-sighted of me. They have since interrupted lots of folks, including Hillary Clinton. And I realize why now. I've done a fair amount of soul searching, listening, talking, reading, and that is because, and they've got good reason, the African American community is skeptical. They don't trust the Republicans, but they are skeptical of the Democrats because the Democrats have not done what they said they would do for the African American community.
But one party does not even acknowledge that racism even exists. They say it's an urban myth.
No. You're right. But see, that show, what? The Black Lives Matter implicitly are proving the humanity of the Democrats because at least they're humane enough to respond in kind to them. The Republicans don't give a flying damn about right. What's going on there, and therefore they prove their inhumanity. Plus, so in one sense, they're affirming it.
And George Bush is
the party that has spoken. The party that was supposed to be for black people
right.
has let them down continuously, and that's what the Black Lives Matter
Absolutely.
Movement is
right.
going after the Democrats. What? Because they're the ones who are supposed to be on their
Exploiting
side.
Them,
They've
taking
given
them
up
for granted.
On the Republicans.
Take women, taking them for granted.
And now, at this time, it is going to be really hard for the candidates, both of the Democratic candidates, to get any prominent African Americans on their side, anybody that really believes in them. But there are a few, and they've come out very strongly. One of those has been Killer Mike. Now, I point him out because he really was skeptical of all things government. And anybody that's skeptical of any and all things government has been, in one sense or another, been burned by the government. And Killer Mike, and I'm a fan of his, has come out very strongly against a lot of politicians, but then has come out for Bernie Sanders in a way that I have never, ever seen before.
When you have an opportunity to tell two black girls to shut up and get off stage and you don't, and you shake their hand and you smile and you step to the side and you listen, that is a firm difference from turning around and staring at a little black girl and saying, shut up, I'll talk to you later. You're being rude or allowing people to say that to her. I'm going to tell you the proof is in the pudding every time. If I can find a picture of you from 51 years ago, chained to a black woman, protesting segregation, and I know 51 years later, you're willing to fold your arms, hold your head, and listen to two black girls yell and scream, rightfully so, as opposed to someone who will tell you to shut up after they read their own words.
Well, can I talk and then maybe you can listen to what I say?
As opposed to someone who will tell you later, when it comes to your children dying in the streets, I know that the only person that I have the conscience to vote for is Bernard Sanders. I know that the only person that my logical, beautiful black mind will allow me to vote for is Senator Bernie Sanders. And I want to tell the other side, I know from going around and shaking hands and hugging these beautiful black faces in South Carolina, that damn firewall got a crack.
Whether it's for political expediency or whether she really feels this way now, she is now on the side of African Americans. But she blew an opportunity. And now what he was pointing out there was Senator Sanders. All these photos have been coming out of Senator Sanders during the civil rights movement. And when he was interrupted in Seattle, he did stand aside, cross his arms, and listen to them talk. But when Hillary Clinton was interrupted at a fundraiser, she turns to the girl and says, I will talk to you later. Police show up, or security shows up, and escorts her out of the room. Now, this doesn't mean that Hillary Clinton would not be a friend of the African-American community. But the optics of this kind of thing are undeniable. The optics of this kind of thing for the Clinton campaign are a nightmare. But race, as much of an issue as it is, when you really think about it, is a non-issue. And please allow me to qualify. I do not hate anybody based on their race or based on their gender. I've said some not so nice things about white people in the past, but hey, I'm a white guy, okay? And I make it a point to not do that anymore. You and I, no matter what race or gender you are, you and I don't have a real good reason to hate each other. But so often, things are thrown out into the open air that are supposed to make us hate each other. And the divide, the black-white divide that goes on in America right now, that goes on while our pockets are being picked by politicians, both black and white and male and female. While we fight about dumb things like race and tax policy that does not help us, all of our pockets are being picked by hands that do not discriminate. They're not looking for white. They're not looking for black. They're looking for green. And this has been capitalized on in a large way. Look at all the white supremacist groups. Donald Trump is now mounting a presidency firmly on a foundation of racism and hatred and fear. And what do we get out of it? Nothing. We get a Donald Trump presidency, which is worse than nothing. I hate to think he could pull it out, but I'm starting to think he can. So Senator Bernie Sanders was taking calls on C-SPAN over 20 years ago. I think this clip is 24 years old. That's wild. 1992. This was after the Rodney King verdict. And he spoke very articulately to the person that called in.
You have people in this country now who really want to divide our people. They want to divide blacks from Hispanics, from whites, from Asians. That's what the Willie Horton ads are all about. They're saying, hey, if the blacks get a job, all white people are going to lose their jobs. And I think that type of divisiveness and that type of politics is awful and not what this country is supposed to be about. What we have got to do is bring our people together and not have blacks against whites, but create an economy where all of our people will have decent jobs, decent health care, national health care system, decent educational opportunity. Let us not let the bigots and the racists divide us together, because when they divide us together, then the rich will get richer. When we all stand together, black and white, and demand decent help for our senior citizens, white or black, and our children, white or black or Hispanic, that's when we're going to win.
This was 24 years ago. This wasn't the other day. This was 24 years ago. But this could easily, these lines could easily be dropped into the transcripts of a Bernie Sanders speech, and you would think that he said them just a few hours ago, or is currently saying them in a speech somewhere right now. So, with regard to hate, America. I'm sorry I keep pointing out the year. 2016! Not 1916, not 1816, not 1416, 2016. So Donald Trump goes on CNN, and he's asked by Jake Tapper, you know, a lot of white nationalists coming out for you, a lot of Klansmen coming out for you, and they're even roughing up black people at your rallies. Now remember, this gentleman I talked about earlier, John, I said, I'm a Trump supporter and an avowed racist. And by the way, immigration has nothing to do with immigration per se. Politicians negotiate these trade deals. And a lot of these trade deals are negotiated not with us in mind. They're negotiated with large multinational corporations in mind who want really, really cheap labor. Then, when Apple or Levi's sends their jobs to another country, or Carrier sends their jobs to another country, they simply say, hey, the immigrants are taking your jobs. Not that we sent your jobs to a country that still has legalized slavery. They say it's the immigrants taking your job. And then here's another place where you and I fight about something that is not an issue, something that we had absolutely nothing to do with. Our jobs were not taken away because our labor costs are too high. Our jobs were given away. And there's those countries where they have legalized slavery. They decide to escape those countries and they come here because they hear so much about American exceptionalism and how great it is in America and how anything is possible in America. And it is. But more and more, that ladder is getting taller and it's getting much more steep. And a lot of the rungs are being removed from that ladder. And they're saying to us, it's fine. You can still make it. But you can't blame the immigrants. You can't blame the poor. You can't blame the unemployed. It's not their fault. But it doesn't matter. Trump, more than anybody I've ever seen in my lifetime, has built his entire run for the presidency at this point on racism. And when asked to disavow the racism that is fueling his campaign, it fell on deaf ears.
I want to ask you about the Anti-Defamation League, which this week called on you to publicly condemn unequivocally the racism of former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke, who recently said that voting against you at this point would be treason to your heritage. Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because, you know, I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists. And so you're asking me a question that I'm supposed to be talking about people that I know nothing about.
But I guess the question from the Anti-Defamation League is, even if you don't know about their endorsement, there are these groups and individuals endorsing you. Would you just say unequivocally you condemn them and you don't want their support?
Well, I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them. And certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. But you may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups, and I'll let you know.
Okay. I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here, but
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know David Duke. I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him, and I just don't know anything about him.
That is going to end up in a 30-second ad if that becomes their nominee. Now, Trump went on to blame it on a bad earpiece. Now, remember, Trump said white supremacists. Trump said David Duke. We all know what those things are, but he said, hey, I had a bad earpiece. I couldn't hear what he was talking about. Yes, I disavow. I disavow those groups. Now, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski had Donald Trump on. And a hot mic caught during the commercial break them being buddy and cutesy with Donald Trump, saying, yes, we're going to ask this question, and no. Hey, and then he says, hey, I don't want that question asked. And it was colluding on their part. But after this clip came out, Smokey Joe had to cut himself off from the Donald.
That's disqualifying right there. It's breathtaking. That is disqualifying right there. To say you don't know about the Ku Klux Klan, you don't know about David Duke, and the most stunning thing, Willie Geist, is...
It was here.
This isn't buying him a single vote.
I mean, is he really so stupid that he thinks Southerners aren't offended by the Ku Klux Klan and David Duke? Is he really so ignorant?
Jeffrey Lord used to work for the Reagan campaign and now works as a commentator on CNN. And Jeffrey Lord's job is to rewrite history. He's an apologist. So Jeffrey Lord decided to get a word in about this on CNN and defend Donald Trump. Remember,
I don't know, David Duke. I don't know why it's a...
No. Jeffrey Lord steps up and says, I'm going to defend Donald Trump.
Margaret mentioned Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan ran for governor of California, the press kept trying to get him to renounce the John Birch Society. And finally, Reagan's answer was, I am not endorsing them. They are endorsing me. I have nothing to do with them. He didn't play the game, in other words. Donald Trump isn't playing the game, although he certainly denounced him. I mean, David Duke is a hardcore leftist. He's an anti-Semite. Yes, Margaret, the Ku Klux Klan is a function of the left. It's the military, was the military arm of the Democratic Party.
Remember what I said, rewriting history. He's trying to paint the Ku Klux Klan as a far left group. Here's the thing about political labels. There was a time where the Republican Party was much more progressive, much more pro-union, much more anti-war. They've shifted more to the right on the spectrum. There was a time where the Democrats, and this is where it's disingenuous to say the party of Lincoln. They're not the party of Lincoln anymore. They're not even the party of Reagan. They've moved even further than that. And the Democrats are not the party of Jefferson necessarily anymore. They're not even the party of FDR. These two parties move back and forth on the political spectrum, and there's something known as a Dixiecrat. And yes, the Dixiecrats were Southern racist Democrats. You can't find them anymore. After the Civil Rights Act was signed by Lyndon Johnson, and Lyndon Johnson said, we're going to lose the South for a generation, that's exactly what happened. They lost the South for a generation. They're not a leftist group anymore. They were never a leftist group. They were aligned with the Democrats for a period when the Dixiecrats was a thing, but that's not a thing anymore. And all these Klansmen have gone to the Republican Party. Donald Trump has been racking up the endorsements as of late. He got the endorsement of Paul LePage, Governor Paul LePage, governor of Minnesota. And this is after Governor LePage got caught on a hot mic saying some incredibly racist things. And then recently, he got the endorsement of Jeff Beauregard Sessions. Now, Jeff Sessions of Alabama is really known for one thing and one thing only. He's a hardcore racist and white separatist. And he came out for Donald Trump. Did you know that Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions once had his name put forward by Ronald Reagan to be a federal judge? And eventually it had to be pulled because of his deep-seated racism.
A federal judgeship is a lifetime appointment, and President Reagan has been nominating young men for these jobs, 32 to 38 years old, people who could keep the Reagan influence around for a long time. However, one of Mr. Reagan's nominees is in trouble in Washington, in trouble for saying that the NAACP is a pinko organization, and that a white civil rights attorney from his home state of Alabama is a disgrace to his race. NBC News national political correspondent Ken Bodie is in a Washington studio this morning with more on that nomination. Morning, Ken.
Morning, Jane. The man who said those things and who would be a federal judge is Jeff Sessions.
Mr. Sessions is a throwback to a shameful era, which I know both black and white Americans thought was in our past. It's inconceivable to me that a person of this attitude is qualified to be a U.S. attorney, let alone a United States or federal judge.
Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. He was brought face to face with things he personally had said. For example, that the NAACP and the Civil Liberties Union are un-American organizations.
These comments that you could say about a commie organization or something, I may have said something like that in a general way and that probably was wrong.
As I point out on every show, it is one thing to jump on this mic and to bark about this and that or the other. But I hope on today's show, I have made you think. And I've pointed out some things that make you examine not only yourself, but those around you. Not in a way that distances you from them, but in a way that makes you think, is this really America in 2016? Is America really this full of hate? Or are those the outliers? And are they just getting all the attention because they are hate groups? We don't hear good news on the evening news. Why? Because, as the old saying goes, if it bleeds, it leads. So maybe this is not the real face of America, but this is quickly becoming the face of America. This is quickly becoming what America is associated with. And this is not, I believe in my heart, not who we are. America is not a hateful, exclusionary place. And most people are good. But if Donald J. Trump becomes our president, and this isn't to spread fear, but if he becomes our president, that will change America. I believe that he will be a largely ineffective president. He's running on racism right now. But that is not how he's going to be able to lead this country, because this country will not be led in that way. But that does not mean that it will not embolden the hate groups that exist inside of our borders. I've seen Donald Trump throw people out of his rallies who are protesting him. I have seen him order not only his followers, but his security to beat people up or to throw people outside without their coats when it's below zero outside. He does not care. I live in the Portland, Oregon area, and Donald Trump probably knows it's not a good idea to come here. He probably wouldn't even be able to drive his motorcade through our streets. But if Donald J. Trump comes to my town, I am going to be the loudmouth liberal that gets thrown out of his rally. You're going to see my face on the evening news. You're going to hear my voice challenging him, because I do not believe that he represents our country. I do not believe he represents our people. And I do not believe that him, his kind, or his hate have a place in our White House. I understand. White House. People's House. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. You can download or stream the shows at OpenSkyArchive.com, our official home. It's KiwiStation.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TFYCPO. You can listen on the go. Just download the Kiwi Station app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. The Open Sky Archive app is still available at both app stores. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out. You know, this part of the show, this isn't sped up. This is really the way I talk. Sorry. Okay. You can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Questions, comments, or hate mail? Just a general statement or inquiry? You can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. My name is Melvin. Hello. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail. Rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and a special thanks to Kiwi for putting us on and making us available 24/7, 365 around the world. And thank you for listening. My name is Melvin, and I'm signing off. And now that I have woken you up, good morning.